Well, good morning. Welcome to worship after a week of wonderful late summer weather. We are so blessed to be here in northeastern Minnesota. Would invite you downstairs after worship this morning for a time of coffee and conversation. If you don't have your copy of the 22-23 Covenant Missionary Prayer Calendar, they are on the table in the narthex. Be sure to take one. It's a great way to get acquainted with our covenant missionaries and to be able to pray for them specifically according to their needs. They're not doing any good sitting on the table back there, so let's be sure everyone has one. Next Sunday is Labor Day Sunday, and because quite a few of our people will be gone, we will not have worship in our church. We would encourage you, if you're around, to find another church in which to worship. 2 weeks from today, we will have worship with communion. Daniel Treisman will once again be preaching. And then next week, ladies are reminded of the ladies' lunch on the 7th, and the following week we have the church council. I think these are the announcements. Would you stand, please, and read responsively the call to worship as printed in your bulletin? I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart.
Great are the works of the Lord.
Studied by all who delight in them.
Full of honor and majesty is his work.
And his righteousness endures forever.
He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds.
The Lord is gracious and merciful. I see I got the light print and the bold print mixed up. That's all right. We will remain standing and sing hymn number 227, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. Shall we pray? Truly amazing God, we rejoice that none of the story has lost its edge, that the great word and realities of the gospel are freedom, light, love, grace, the cross, the crown, the throne. By the power of your Spirit, make us bold again to reach out and take your treasures of new life through the inspiration of this time of worship. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated.
We're creatures of habit. We have to be told what to do. Okay, our scripture readings this morning begin in the book of Hebrews, Hebrew 13, verses 1 through 8, and then 15 and 16, which can be found on page 918 in the Pew Bibles. Hebrews 13. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith following, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. I'm reading from the New King James Version. The second lesson is from the book of Luke, chapter 14, and that can be found on page 798 of the Pew Bible. Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath that they watched him closely. So he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and who came, and he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man, and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, or your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you are repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just.
Hymn number 81, On Eagle's Wings. The energies we spend for God flow back to us redoubled. The hours we give to God renew our lives. The gifts we bring to God multiply and enrich us. There is nothing we can give that is not already God's. We'll ask the ushers to come and receive our tithes and offerings. Please and join in the singing of the doxology. Desire that this offering express careful and willing sharing on our part with fruitful blessing on your part, O God, as together we seek to build your kingdom among the nations and your will among all peoples through Christ the Lord. Amen. Remain standing, please, and turn to hymn number 80, Thy Holy Wings, Dear Savior. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for this day on which we can worship you. Thank you for the beautiful summer weather we have enjoyed this week. We thank you for that we have received enough rain to keep things green and growing. And on the other hand, we realize that in parts of our country and in other countries too, they are receiving way too much rain and are subject to flooding and loss of property and life. Be with the people in those areas. We pray for our world. We pray for the situation in Ukraine with the nuclear power plants sitting on a power in danger of destruction and loss of life. Please be present in that situation. We pray for the country of Afghanistan, where people are losing their freedom and their rights, especially girls and wisdom, and girls and women. We thank you for the freedom that we have to worship in our country, and we pray for the countries where the people do not have that freedom, where your church is being persecuted. Minister to those people. We pray for our covenant missionaries as they serve around the world, and today we would especially remember the Ziegelbauers, who have served a number of years in Cameroon educating our missionary children. Be with them today. Be with our public servants, our police and fire department personnel, our sheriff department, as they keep us safe, keep them safe. And we pray for our church during this time of transition. Be with our leaders as they function, and lead us and guide us in the future as we look for the pastor that you have for us who will lead us forward. Be with us now as we continue to worship. In your name we pray. Amen. We're happy to have Linda Freeman back preaching this morning. And not only is she preaching, but she's doing double duty accompanying our singing, and we appreciate that. Before she brings her message of the morning, would you turn, please, to hymn number 276, Spirit of the Living God.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
done.
Thank you, Wayne. Good morning. What I hope people remember from my series of sermons this month is that God made a perfect universe, but without a loyalty to God and left to our own devices, humans react with fear that we won't get the results we want. As deceivers tempt us, we too often fall into their traps. Whenever you believe that Satan's whispers to you rather than God, that is the essence of sin. And humans choose sin. Consequences ensued with Adam and with the rest of history, with judgments, because God's holiness and perfection demands it. But God loves humans. God's lavish love provided forgiveness and direction and commands us to obey him anyway. Jeremiah learned this, we learned in our first sermon this month. And so we obey God because he loves us. And last week we learned that partnering him with in healing other people is because he loves them too. God invites us to help others heal spiritually, emotionally, socially, and mentally. Every person on this planet has had some kind of hurt, hang-up, or habit that pulls them down. And you can help others recover from these by partnering with God in lots of ways. Just one is the Celebrate Recovery that we're doing at the Cook Church with the Baptists, a biblical 12-step program for healing from hurts, hang-ups, and habits that lead to depression, anxiety, and family breakdown. Hebrews 13 tells us that love from God can flow through us into others. When we let God's Spirit love on others outside the church, the result is an atmosphere of invitingness. Another word for that is hospitality. Invite neighbors for dinner. Let your table be a life-giving table where they'll feel welcomed and accepted just as they are. God is the one who transforms people. We just bless them. Invite them into relationship with us, tell our stories, and let God's Spirit transform all of us. Maybe your gift in partnering with God is writing cards and letters. Reach outside the church family this way to encourage others. Maybe your gift is just scraping snow off cars and windshields in the winter. Maybe you're a teacher and you have opportunities to give young people hope for their future. Today, the final lesson I have for you this month is, if we obey his commands, it will result in delight. Psalm 112. The gospel lesson in Luke 14 tells us, you will be carefully watched. Humans learn by copying others, whether good or evil. Hundreds of psychological studies confirm that humans learn from role models the best. Showing children how to have good behavior is the very best kind of training for children and adults too. That's why letting children watch video games where they see others shaming, bullying, or having physical or emotional abuse or violence destroys a child's natural tenderness and ruins their consciences. When a single person chooses someone to marry, they need to choose a decent, God-respecting, God-loving person to be a mate, so their children that they bring into the world have good people as role models. Both parents will be watched. The child's teachers all through life will be copied too. You will be carefully watched. and people will follow you. Every one of us who is a Christian believer, living according to God's commands in the Bible, is being watched carefully to see what we do, how we act, and what we say. Can you think of times in your life when you went through a hard time? Take a moment now and think back. Everyone faces some kind of stress during their lifetime. What did you do to handle those trials? Psalm 94:19 says, "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy." And I'd like to share with you an example from my own life. Our only daughter, Angela, had her first seizure on October 28th, 2019. Her husband called an ambulance and she was rushed to an emergency room nearby. They found a brain tumor. My husband, Roger, and I were called and we dropped everything to go help the family. Her husband, Frank, and their two children, and Angela in North Carolina. We arrived the next day. Angela was 44 years old, a wife, a homeschooling mother, and a brilliant woman. Our hearts were broken at the thought of a brain tumor. Fear gripped us. We're only human. We read that first week together on August 7th, that the power of love overcomes fear. But we're all vulnerable to fear. Would we lose our daughter? Would her children lose their mom? Would her husband be widowed? And the COVID pandemic was declared, so we couldn't be with her in the hospitals. It was hard to get medical care at all. In June of 2020, she finally got a biopsy, and it showed glioblastoma, a terrible cancer of the brain that has been deadly. But God, as Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, and because of his great love for Angela, God, who is rich in mercy and grace, showed the incomparable riches of his grace and expressed his kindness to us with an excellent surgeon, the head surgeon of Duke University Brain Cancer Center in Durham, North Carolina. Despite having contracted one of the deadliest brain cancers, God, who is rich in mercy, saved her. She's now 47 years old and has had MRI and MRI every 2 months with no sign of tumors. Praise God. Henry Cloud wrote about experiencing God. Maybe you've done that Bible study here sometime. Experiencing God in your life is the most fulfilling thing any human being can have. When I look back on my 7 decades, my entire life, from the moment of conception as a baby to a single mom who was considering abortion but didn't, she went to a home for unwed mothers and orphanages, and I've had one experience after another of the goodness of God. But who am I that I should be so blessed? A patient at the hospital shared a story just yesterday about someone who had a near-death experience and was resuscitated. While they were in heaven, God let them see all their loved ones who had been saved and were now in glory. Isn't that wonderful? Then God invited them to come on a tour of heaven. This person saw the streets of gold. They saw diamonds, jasper, rubies sparkling as they toured heaven. But God skipped one room. So she asked, "What about that room?" And God said, "I don't want to show you that one." She insisted, and God opened the door. There, she saw piles and piles, stacks and stacks of beautifully tied presents. Have you ever gotten Christmas presents that were so beautifully tied and wrapped that you couldn't imagine yourself ever giving a present like that? That's how what they look like. Gifts. "What are these?" she exclaimed. And God said, "These are the gifts I had ready to give to people, but they didn't want to accept my love. And spiritual and other life gifts I had for them to make use of and to bless others with during their life on earth, but they weren't interested. And so my message to you is to say yes to Jesus while you can. The experience with my daughter's cancer and recovery evoked in me a desire to help others who faced devastating grief by bringing grief support groups to Virginia. And I've done that about 3 times. We'll be starting a 4th at the end of this month, at the end of September. 6 to 8 people come on a journey with me through the many ways of healing deep grief. Over the weeks, we meet together. We listen to one another. The grievers share their stories, share tears and feelings, and learn techniques from music and art and talk therapy to help. In this process, people become open to God's consolation and develop healthy relationships with each other in that group. It's a beautiful thing to witness. My little story was how I responded to a crisis. I'll bet each of you has a story too. How about sharing your stories with each other during the fellowship downstairs after worship? Each of us has a mission. What is your mission? All of us can manifest reverence for our Lord in every single thing we do. Respect God's love for you. Appreciate Him. Appreciate His love and mercy and forgiveness, His willingness to give you spiritual and other gifts for your journey on earth so that you can reach others just like the disciples did, and they changed history. As you focus on the year ahead, the challenge for each of us is to be that light, no matter where you are or what you do. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the grace of God that flows from God is an all-encompassing, never-ending agape loving kindness from the lover of our souls. There is no greater love than God's love. His love bears us back into the world, changed, and able to experience Him in new ways as we are obedient to God's word and listening to His loving and merciful Spirit, bringing healing to people, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, and self-control, which is fruit that will remain. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you for your attention. Let's sing again.
please, as we sing.